Adventures of Madame Strange. This story is called The Opera. This is part 3. An hour later, Bianca drove her RV to Iris's apartment building. She spotted a black SUV parked across from the entrance the moment she arrived. Bianca sensed menace coming from the vehicle, but saw no one inside. Maybe they're prowling around, she thought. I'd better be careful. She unlocked the front door, took the elevator to the 4th floor, and walked down the hall toward the apartment. Everything seemed quiet. Bianca listened outside the apartment door, then unlocked it and went in. The scene that greeted her shocked her. The apartment was a shambles. Someone had turned over all the furniture. The intruders had cut open the chairs and sofa. There was stuffing strewn around the room. Books were all over the floor. Ceiling light fixtures hung on their wires. Someone's been very thorough, Bianca thought. I wonder if they found what they came for. She went into the bathroom. It had also been ransacked. The linen closet was empty. There were towels strewn about the room. The plants behind the toilet hadn't been disturbed, and Bianca hoped the manuscript was still where Iris hid it. She moved the plants and took the lid off the toilet tank. The sealed plastic bag was there. Bianca took out the bag, dried it, and looked at the brown manuscript book inside. She didn't know why this opera caused such chaos, but wanted to find out. Bianca had to leave the building without anyone seeing her carrying the book. She tucked the manuscript under her roomy jacket. It didn't show. No one would know it was there unless they bumped into her. She locked the apartment door and went to the elevator. After she pushed the button, she waited. The elevator door opened and a man almost bumped into her as he rushed out. He didn't apologize. She did and hurried to hit the closed door button before he could turn around. Bianca didn't breathe again until she was back inside the RV. The manuscript was safe. She hoped she didn't leave any hint that she had visited the apartment so no one would follow her. She called Iris as she drove back to the hotel. It's safe. So am I, think. But your place is a wreck. I'm sorry. We might never be able to go back there, Iris replied. It's not a problem for right now, anyway. The manuscript is all that's important.
Yeah, about that manuscript, Bianca said. You photographed it, right?
A few pages, Iris replied.
We got to do the whole thing right away and then upload everything where it will be safe. Then maybe we can figure out why it's causing all this trouble.
Good idea, Bianca. See you when you get back. On the way back to the hotel, Bianca spotted the black SUV in the rearview mirror. She couldn't lead it to Iris and Molly.
But they're not the ones in danger anymore, she realized. I am. I'm the one with the manuscript now.
Bianca couldn't escape the SUV. Her RV was too visible. The SUV stayed far enough behind to follow but not menace her. Sooner or later, they'll make a move, she thought. I need to be ready when they do. She wished she had her crystal ball to tell her what was coming next. Even though it was just a gimmick for her customers, it helped her focus her thoughts and glimpse into the future. Normally, the crystal ball wouldn't show her future, but this was Iris and Molly's future, and Bianca wished she could consult the ball. She called Iris again. I'm being followed. I can't lead them to you. I don't know what else to do. Any ideas?
Only one. Molly said she saw this in a movie. Let's fake a handoff of the manuscript to me in my car. They'll see us and start following me. I'll try to lose them. I'm less conspicuous than your RV.
Faster, too, Bianca said.
Right. You'll go back to the hotel and pick up Molly. I'll call you and we'll arrange a place to meet.
That'll work except for one thing, Bianca said.
What's that?
What are they going to do when they catch you and find out you don't have the opera?
I won't let them catch me, Iris replied.
She told Molly to stay put and hurry down to the garage. Iris went to her older blue Toyota. She called Bianca and told her where to meet her. They did the handoff at a traffic light not far from the hotel. The black SUV was several cars behind in the lines of vehicles. After the light changed, Iris took a sharp right turn, and Bianca went straight. As she hoped, the SUV followed the Toyota. Fortunately, there were similar blue Toyotas on the streets, and Iris was able to escape from the black SUV. She headed for the expressway ramp, assuming she'd lost her pursuers. Bianca, Molly, and Iris met several hours later
in a remote parking lot of a suburban shopping mall far away from the security cameras. "Let's do the photography right now while we have some time," Bianca said. She turned on a small light over her kitchen table. Then she got out her phone, opened the manuscript, and framed the first page. "This is a pretty high-resolution camera," Bianca said. "We should get lots of detail." They took turns photographing the pages and had everything done in an hour. Bianca uploaded the files and copied them to her laptop. Iris did the same. Then she looked through the pages. "I just noticed something," Iris said.
"What, Mom?"
"The page numbers. Some are missing."
"Yeah," Bianca replied. She flipped through the images on her laptop. "But look, here they are later in the book."
"He must have moved the parts around but not renumbered the pages, which is weird because the plot isn't out of order."
"Maybe the original numbering was the order he wrote it in," Molly said.
"Must be, unless..."
"Unless what?" Bianca asked.
"See this tiny writing on the bottom of the page?" Iris zoomed in.
"Yeah, but it's Greek to me," Molly joked.
"I think that is Greek," Bianca said.
"What does it say?" Molly asked.
"Let's see if we can get Google to translate it," Bianca said. "I'll copy and paste this text and upload it." It only took a moment.
"Okay, here's what Google says. To elevate man above the human sphere into the divine, and to assure his redemption by making him a god, and so conferring immortality upon him."
"They sound like research notes for the opera," Iris said.
"Yeah. Let's see what's on the next page."
"It's garbled," Bianca said. "Something about the third mystery, whatever that means."
"Let's look it up. Here it is."
"There were two Eleusinian mysteries, the greater and the lesser." Bianca skimmed the article. "There's no mention of any third mystery."
All the talk of myth and mystery confused Molly.
"Forget about ancient mystery," she said. "We have our own. Somebody wants this opera really badly. There must be a reason. What's it about? What does it mean? It's a work of art, not history. Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way."
"Well, its deepest meaning, taken from the powerful Greek myth, is a mother's love and devotion for her daughter," Iris explained. "So I guess that's what it's about."
"Motherly love is a lie," a voice said. Bianca, Iris, and Molly turned. A woman dressed in black, wearing a black veil, had silently entered the RV. Iris recognized her and gasped. She moved to shield Molly. Bianca moved to protect them both.
"What do you want?"
Iris asked. The woman pointed to the opera manuscript. "That belongs to me," she said.
"What do you mean?" Molly asked. Bianca already knew.
"It's my grandfather's opera."
"Are you a musician?" Iris asked. She hoped to distract the strange woman.
"What I am isn't important. That manuscript belongs to my family. I came to take it back."
"Like I told you before, it's not for sale," Iris said. "It's very beautiful. Your grandfather was a musical genius. His work should be shared with the world."
"He didn't write it for the world."
"That makes no sense. Why else would he write it?" Iris asked.
"That's not important," the woman replied.
"Okay, then what is important?" Bianca asked.
"I will leave here with that opera manuscript. Either you sell it to me or you die and I take it." The woman pulled a small gun from her pocket. "That's what's important."
"Mom?" Molly said. Her voice trembled.
"Stay calm, Molly."
"Name your price," the woman said.
"Why would you kill for this?" Bianca asked.
"That's not your concern."
"If we're going to die, it would be nice to know why," Iris said.
"Mom?" Molly whimpered.
"No one's going to die here today," Bianca stated. Molly's fear didn't ease.
"Mrs. McIntyre?" a voice said from outside.
"Help!" Bianca, Iris, and Molly shouted. A man opened the door and rushed in.
"Mrs. McIntyre, what are you doing?"
"Carl, I told you to stay in the car."
"I couldn't do that, ma'am. Boss's orders."
"But I'm your boss."
"No, Mr. McIntyre is. He told me to keep an eye on you. He doesn't want anything happening to you."
"Carl, if you don't go back into the car this minute, I'm going to use this on you first."
Carl smiled calmly.
"I don't think so, ma'am. It's not loaded."
Bianca leaped at Mrs. McIntyre and took the gun from her.
"I think you should leave now," Bianca said. "Carl's going to take you home, aren't you, Carl?"
He nodded. "I think that's for the best. Come along, Mrs. McIntyre. We're leaving now."
"Thank you, Carl. Nice meeting you, Zelda," Bianca said cheerfully. She had read Carl's mind and learned her name.
He took Mrs. McIntyre's hand and led her to the RV. Their ordeal was over for now, and they still had the manuscript.
As Carl drove away from Bianca's RV, Zelda McIntyre sat stiffly in the back seat. She was seething.
"You had no right," she said.
"I followed my boss's orders, ma'am. You know what he told you."
"But he doesn't get it. And neither, apparently, do you."
"My job's not to get it, ma'am. It's to drive you around and protect you," Carl explained calmly.
"Protect me from what?"
"Getting hurt, or doing something stupid and hurting other people."
"If I could, I'd fire you right now."
"And how would you get home?" Carl asked. "You can't drive."
"I can so drive. Simon won't let me."
"You know why, ma'am. All those cars you wrecked."
"Those crashes were not my fault."
"Well, even if you did fire me, I'd still stay in the driver's seat."
"Your problem, Carl, is that you're too damn loyal."
"It's my job. I take it seriously." Carl wanted to add, "and you'll thank me one day," but knew she would scoff. He didn't need another hysterical incident. He just wanted to get his boss's wife home safely. Zelda ignored Carl's comments. She thought about the opera. Zelda wasn't finished with her quest to get it back. She was the only person alive who knew what the opera meant. End of part 3. Thanks for listening. This material is copyrighted, all rights reserved.